All right, so just to start, what was it like playing soccer, or coaching in your case, coaching soccer in Key Arena?
Well, I had a couple games in Key Arena before I became the full-time assistant. So I actually did get to experience on the field with fans in the building cheering us on. My coaching career came after a knee injury that sped up my retirement. But Key Arena was a good venue. I mean, to get the hockey, the soccer, the indoor soccer field in there, they pushed some of the stands on one of the ends out underneath to make it long enough to have, a full-size, hockey rink, soccer field there. And they didn't take away from any of the sight lines, the fans. I mean, the fans seemed to be right on top of us. You know, the year we won the championship, the last year, there were a couple sizable crowds in there, 6,000, 8,000, 10,000 people, and it was good. The atmosphere was good.
Yeah, what was the transition like? The first year of the Sea Dogs was in Mercer Arena, and then coming into Key Arena after it had been rebuilt
two,
the second
Two completely different venues, really, because I actually remember going to a couple of T-Birds games way back when I was a much younger man, and, Mercer Arena at the time was, as it was called, is, smaller, intimate, whatever. Just remember that, the ice hockey there was different. It seemed like you were in a bigger building, newer building, more modern building, for sure, in Key Arena. So different, bigger, newer, shinier, lots of differences.
You mentioned a couple of those crowds. What were the crowds like for Sea Dogs games?
Well, look, a lot of them weren't great. I mean, I think the Ackerleys were trying to find a little niche for summer dates in their arena. However the CISL came about, I would have to look back on the statistics, but, 3,000, 4,000, again, a couple of those games got close to 10, but, for Key Arena at the time, I think its capacity was 17, 18, 19, somewhere in that range. So it was good. I mean, the lower bowl was full.
Nice.
So.
You mentioned the transition from playing to coaching. How did you kind of experience that? You said it was ahead of schedule.
Yeah, I mean, the transition period, it's a little different. As a player, you get, some of your adrenaline from the fans. As a coach, you're supposed to keep a clear mind and think about tactics and stuff like that. But you feel the energy. You feel the people that are behind you cheering or booing or, not happy with what you're doing. So, I mean, the transition for me was, soccer was what I knew. I didn't have a clear career path at the time, but, jumping with, one of my very, very good friends, Fernando Clavillo, who was the head coach at the time, jumping from being a player to his assistant was pretty seamless.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what did you learn about managing from Fernando?
Not a lot. I mean, I remember we had a player named Gene Harbor, who was a very tall, large, big, strong forward. And me and Fernando were defenders back in the day. And defenders have a little bit of different mindset than the forwards. And Fernando didn't like that Gene wasn't, tracking back on defense and doing a couple things. And I remember specifically seeing Fernando, looking up, having to look up on this 6'3" guy, Fernando's, 5'8", and, getting after Gene Harbor, really going after him and say, you got to help the team. You got to do that. Well, I don't know if it was just one conversation or not, but it helped. I mean, we went on to win the championship that year because Gene started playing defense and, really figuring out, okay, how can I best help the team? So I learned a lot about team cohesion from Fernando. He's a good manager of people. And, I learned from all the coaches that I've been with or against. It's just part of your job.
Mm-hmm. Was that a key factor in, the first couple seasons, I think, below 500? And then the third season, kind of everything clicks in that championship year.
Yeah, well, we had a better team that third year. I mean, it took us a couple of years to kind of figure out the league and players and, stuff like that. I mean, the first year we had players that we'd only pay them if they'd play. mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, finding guys like that. Yeah, we found some local guys that ended up being okay, but that was challenging. I mean, we had John Olu Malomo, we had Dick McCormick, we had a more seasoned roster. Gene Harbor had, you know, had a big career. We had some good players. We had a very good goalkeeper. So there was an upgrade in the players. I think there was an upgrade in the mentality after we lost a couple games early that third year. You know, and Fernando did what he could to spark the team.
Yeah, you mentioned goalkeeper Juan de la O. I mean, yeah. How is goalkeeping different in that indoor setting than what we're used to?
Well, it's so different because you have to be good with your feet mm-hmm. because you're an integral part of the unit that's on the field. So, you know, Juan was good with his feet, and he also was capable of making big saves at the right moments. So it was a good blend. You know, he was a good team guy. He got along with everybody. Super, super, super nice guy. I remember bumping into him a couple of years after the Sea Dogs went away and, you know, still very polite, friendly, you know, which was, look, at the time, we weren't getting paid a ton of money and guys were doing it for, you know, the experience to just be part of a group, be part of a team, prolong their careers, wherever it was. But the camaraderie amongst the players was strong because we almost weren't making a ton of dough. We had to stick together and just enjoy the moments.
How much was the idea of growing soccer in this country a factor in that as well?
I think the people upstairs, I mean, I was too naive at the time to kind of really think about that. But, you know, obviously the Ackerleys had a building that was vacant in some of the summer months. Indoor soccer at that time was very popular in the United States, you know, and the outdoor had kind of fizzled out a little bit in between the NASL and the various iterations of, you know, A-League or USL or whatever. I mean, it took a while for the MLS to kind of reignite the passion in the outdoor game. So I'm sure there was a lot of talk about, okay, how do we grow and develop and, you know, make the CISL a viable, family, entertaining type of soccer, because that's what we aimed. That was our goal.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember from the run up to the championship?
I remember having a really good team. You know, we were good. We kind of knew we had a really good chance to do well in the playoffs. We also, you know, that final series with Houston was kind of won on logistics. So we had played them in Seattle, and those were the days where you had to play back to back some nights. And so we played in Seattle on a Saturday, and then we flew to Houston on Sunday for the second game of the home and home series. We got to fly on the Sonics jet. Uh-huh. So we left right after the game. We ended up getting into Houston at, you know, whatever, 3 a.m, you know, whatever it was, get to our hotel, get a good night or whatever possible chance of sleep you could get. And they had to take a commercial flight. They didn't get in until 7 a.m, 8 o'clock, you know, get into their beds, try and sleep a couple hours, and had to play Sunday at like 6 o'clock. So our preparation for that game on the Sunday was way better, and we ended up winning that game, I think, like 6-1. It was a pretty resounding result for us.
Mm-hmm. What kind of celebration was there of that?
Oh, it was great. This was one of my famous favorite stories. So we were obviously all excited to be on a NBA plane. I mean, it was nice, and, you know, God bless our owners for letting us do that and helping us win a championship. But after the game, we were, you know, kind of debating, okay, should we celebrate a little bit? Sure, there was some champagne in the locker room, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, some of the guys wanted to have a few beers on the plane on the way back. And so John Dreisel, Bill Ackerley, a couple of those guys, we stopped off at like a store on the way to the Houston Hobby Airport.
Like a convenience store?
Yeah, like a convenience store. And, you know, it was taking a little bit long to get a couple cases of beer for the plane ride home. And, you know, we could see the body language through the window of the bus in the store, like, you know, something's not right. And so Fernando has to come out and, you know, come onto the bus and say, look, the credit cards aren't working. You know, we need to come up with some cash to buy the beer. And so we were given John Dreisel and Bill and I think Ted and Chris were on the plane. We were like giving them grief, saying, ah, you guys, your credit cards don't work. You know, you guys can't even buy beer for the team. Well, the credit card reader was broken, you know, in the convenience store, but it made for a, you know, a good storyline. And I remember everybody being really super happy. Obviously, on the ride home, we got some really, you know, nice rings. I have a nice championship ring with a Sea Dog on it. I mean, the Ackerleys treated us very well.
Mm-hmm. How disappointing was it after that to not get the chance to defend it when the CISL folded?
Yeah, it was disappointing for sure. I mean, I thought we had – Seattle was one of the, you know, better franchises in that league. So it was very disappointing, but, you know, I understood it because I'd been around soccer in this country and in Seattle for quite some time. So, you know, I got it, but it was disappointing for sure.
How often do you get back to Key Arena, and do you still kind of, you know, think about those days when you get back in the building?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I've been to a couple concerts. I mean, the last Pearl Jam concert at the Key was a great show, not just because Pearl Jam's one of my favorites, but, you know, they played for a really long time, and we got to go down into the Green Club down below underneath where the pricey seats were, where they have some, you know, some private bars down there, or, you know, exclusive to those seats. Kind of brought back some memories. You know, you go in there, and it's an iconic building that has a lot of history in it. So for sure, I mean, yeah, I would always tell my buddies, yeah, we used to play in here. Yeah, this was where we won a championship. There's always those memories, especially at my age. Those are the things I'm holding on to.